Whether you're shopping for toilets or toilet paper, you'll love the selection at Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, use the link, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back after the Survivor merge. And take your traditional merge boot and throw it out the window. Steven, it's the return of the Joe Dowdle boot.
Yeah, this was the full Joe parallel, like start to bottom. And in fact, in our immunity challenge at the merge, Jeff said, hey, I want to check out everyone's injuries. And I was like, great, I got some complaints. But it turned out, you know, he just was going to set up into this isn't token chains. We know that we're pulling Joe. And so we're kind of setting up that narrative of like, we're looking at your injuries now. Oh, and then the doctor's going to come later and pull you. And then, yeah, same place, knee, like right below the knee. It's exactly where Joe Dowdle's was. So I think this is a classic Joe Dowdle edit, classic Joe Dowdle move. You know, really the Joe Dowdle playbook.
Did Joe Dowdle have the immunity idol too?
No. Oh, he had a fake immunity idol.
Fake immunity idol. I knew there was something about that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So very similar in a lot of ways. And Joe Dowdle did not pass the fake immunity idol to anybody.
No, you know, he actually might have given it to Aaron. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
Maybe he told Aaron. He definitely told Aaron about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
you don't want to get too much into the Joe Dowdle Aaron alliance right now.
You guys were not expecting that 30 seconds in to go full Joe Dowdle, but here we are. Yes. And we are back with the Survivor Know-It-Alls. Very excited to talk about for an episode without a true tribal council and boot. I really think that there is a lot to unpack and discuss as we get into our first post-merge episode of Survivor. And we are off and running. Of course, we are taking your tweets, hashtag RHAP. And then, of course, on our YouTube channel at robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. Let me just also set the table for the next couple days. Exit interview with Neil coming up on Thursday. Looking forward to hearing what he has to say. If he felt like he truly was going to be going home nonetheless that night, or if he felt like that maybe he might have had a plan up his sleeve, or if it was going to be Aubrey going home or what. We can find out the first person version of that story. And then, of course, we'll get into our recap episode, Pete and Abby Maria, Steven.
Wow, I can't wait. I mean, for you to do it.
Yeah, and then Matt Cerrone from MetsBlog.com is going to be on the voicemails with me. All right, so Steven, so let's talk about this, because I feel like with all of these medical evacuations, the thing is always like, you know, when we heard about, okay, there's going to be evacuations this season, we
right.
felt like, all right, well, what are you going to do? We just hope it doesn't mess too much with the dynamics of the game. So do you almost look at this like, okay, Neil went home, that the votes were going to be coming for him anyway, but he had an idol, votes were going to be coming for Aubrey, but do we just need to pretend like, okay, well, maybe it's almost like take the idol out of the equation, that Neil was just considered the first boot at the merge?
I think this is different than the first boot, and here's why. I think the first boot at the merge is often a really clarifying maneuver. Because really, all of these kind of chaotic politics, these three tribes come together, they're all clashing, and alliances are getting formed, right? Their alliances are shifting, deals are being made. But the alliances really only solidify when they vote together, right? That's how you know you have an alliance with someone, when you vote together. So Neil getting pulled, you know, all of these embryonic alliances and deals are still in play. Like, nothing's been acted upon by any of these players. So I think that this, you know, we could see a complete shakeup next week.
Okay. So I think this is really, really interesting, because it's almost like, do you feel like that Neil was not long for this world in the game? Do you feel like that even if he survived the vote at tribal council, say Aubrey ended up going home, as was the plan, as we were led to believe by the episode, Seemingly he was being set up as the next boot after that. Do you feel like he would have had a longer shelf life in the game?
Well, it's so hard to say, right? It's just one of those things where you can't make that guess. And, you know, he had the idol. Would he have given it to Aubrey, right? Like, would he have played? If he didn't give it to Aubrey, he probably would have known enough to play it on himself next week, right?
And did he have the information to know the votes were coming for Aubrey? Was Nick double dealing to the degree that he was going to tell Neil the vote? They're voting for Aubrey tonight. The vote is for Aubrey. Play your idol.
Or someone at tribal council could have slipped up and made it clear. You know, maybe they could have been so heavy handed. You know, maybe someone would have tried to flush Neil's idol and said something to Neil. And maybe A, that would have either caused him to play the idol, or B, they could have like pulled the Amanda Kimmel and like caused them to play the idol for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's so many variables at every step along the way. And this is like such a great example of how much fate, how much luck, how much randomness goes into Survivor. You know, it's like, you know, Nick said, like, you know, Aubrey was supposed to go home tonight. Now she's in the game for a few more days. And, you know, I think she's going all the way to the end. You know, I don't know if she wins or not, but I think she's going all the way to the end. So like one little twist of fate and you go from being the merge boot to being a finalist.
Right. You know, we talked the other day when you sat in for Josh Wiggler on the Wiggle Room podcast, and we talked about winner's edit, one of your favorite topics to discuss. And we talked about, you know, there was so much talk last week of Michelle's winner edit after I don't need to be carried, bro. Okay.
Yeah.
All of that stuff from last week.
I don't need to be carried, bro.
But do you feel differently tonight after Twitter was agog about Michelle last week? Do you think that after tonight's episode that we need to be having the Aubrey winner edit discussion?
Well, so here's what I really think. More than I think there's a winner's edit as a rule, I think there's like a finalist's edit. You know, I think that like last season, for example, you certainly could see how Jeremy, you know, won. You could have also made the case for why Spencer won. And so I think there's like, you know, I think that at least a couple of the competitors in the finale are going to have really full fledged edits that, you know, speak to that could make them compelling winners. So I think Aubrey has got one of those. You know, I could totally be wrong.
Aubrey looked really good tonight.
This was her story. Yeah, it really was her story. I mean, you know, and Michelle, though. The thing about Michelle is that she's like shoehorned in there in weird places. You know, She has a confessional right when the merge comes. You know, she has like another random confessional, maybe teaming up with Aubrey and Debbie. And it's like these are confessionals that, like, you know, Sydney barely spoke, right? Like Ty even barely spoke. So like Michelle doesn't have that.
Yeah, I don't need to derail this too much with going into the Michelle winners discussion. Yeah. I just felt like that it was a foregone conclusion last week that Michelle was winning the season. That was the winner's edit. I think that there's a lot more to chew on after this week's episode. And we will, I'm sure, get into that on all the podcasts this week. You know, I really wanted, you brought up Jeremy.
Yeah.
And this episode reminded me of him to some degree, because the other episode that's really reminiscent with this for me, you know, we talked about In Token Sheens with Joe Dowdle, and we can explore that further. But also go back to Survivor San Juan del Sur and the quit of Julie McGee.
Sure.
At 12. And that was a really, and I had been thinking about this this moment recently this past week based on one of the conversations from one of the podcasts. Actually, when we talked about merge boots and we talked about Julie McGee in that conversation. And at 12 in that season, during the San Juan del Sur merge, Julie McGee decides to quit. And Jeff Probst, and again, this was a medical evacuation, not a quit, but Jeff Probst described that as, this is $1 million decision for somebody here, that, you know,
that's right,
her quitting. And then they didn't end up going to tribal council. So it was similar in that where we had.
And Josh was going to go home that
no,
right?
No, no,
that,
no, no,
no, no. Jeremy was going to go home.
Jeremy was going to go home and that tribal council. And then what ended
and then
up
Josh
happening
went home the next week.
Three more days that John Mish and Jacqueline decided to flip back to Jeremy's side. And then they ended up sticking around. And then after Josh got voted out, that's when Jeremy got voted out. And then it sort of, you know, spurned a whole secondary discussion out of that of, if Jeremy is the first boot at the merge in that season, how does that shape season 31 of is Jeremy, and does he end up having going on that same trajectory to get voted back into Second Chance and then having the force, having the knowledge base to win Second Chance? If, you know, did that 6 days of him not being in San Juan del Sur change anything? And was that ultimately the $1 million decision that was affected Jeremy's Second Chance? But that's a whole different sliding door scenario.
Well, it's so interesting, though. I mean, that's, you know, it's our life. It's Survivor of the game, and it's our whole lives, right? little minuscule decisions constantly. The world is just filled with randomness and chaos.
But it just goes to show you that, okay, at that merge in San Juan del Sur, Jeremy was getting voted out in that game. And then just how much things can swing in just 3 days, where Josh had everything under control then at that point in time. Julie's quit. And then the subsequent, then her staying, her leaving the game and then not going to tribal council gives enough time for John Mish and Jacqueline. And what ends up happening, I believe, it's when, you know, all those guys like Alec Christie are all just like D-bags around Jacqueline. And she's like, I don't want to vote with these guys anymore. And so we have like this very tenuous alliance, which we could end up seeing with, you have guys like Jason and Scott. Like if Michelle or it looks like from the previews that Sydney seems to be souring on those guys, or if Nick decide, hey, maybe I don't want to be working with Jason and Scott. Maybe we don't want to go with Braun. You could see some sort of similar swing back the other way towards Brains.
Well, and, you know, I think the Jeremy parallel is great, too, there, because Jeremy loses someone who's his ally, mm-hmm. and it ends up putting him in a better position, right? And sometimes that's really the case. When you lose someone close to you, you know, that's, I think that happened for the Beauty Tribe, right? Losing Anna, losing Caleb, you know, maybe at the moment they're like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is terrible. But in fact, it ends up making them more powerful within the game because they're less threatening, so they have more leverage. Same thing happened to Jeremy for a moment in time. And you know, you could easily see the same thing happening to the Brains, where they were the threat, but now with Neil gone, now with Neil's idol gone, suddenly people care less about getting, you know, there's less of a need to blindside Aubrey when you don't have Neil and his idol right next door. And so then you start to think, well, who's the bigger threat? Who's the power player now? Mm-hmm. Who am I scared of now? And I really think that could be, you know, I think that could be, I stand by, you know, I said when we talked on the Wiggle Room, I said, Nick is the merge boot, or Nick is only 1 or 2 weeks away. I think Nick is next.
He could be. He had a great night tonight. He had a great night. Boy, if you went to Vegas a couple of years ago and they had, I believe it was 6,000-1 odds that one day an RHAP blogger would win individual immunity on Survivor. you're cashing that chip in tonight.
Hey, I'm right here. I'm right here.
You're not a RHAP blogger. You are a blogger.
Okay. I feel like I'm, you know, an RHAP podcast. I don't know. Okay. Yeah. All right. It's fair.
And did you win individual immunity last season?
No, but on Token Machines, I won
a reward. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. But just going back to all of this, you know, I don't know if I've given you enough credit, but I've mentioned it on the podcast a couple of times that you said, I think it was 2 weeks ago tonight on the Know It Alls, you said the greatest strength in this game is perceived weakness. And this really does turn out to be a mitzvah, Stephen, for the Brains tribe, I believe, to have Neil go home. And now it's like, boy, what do the Brains have going on? Aubrey and Debbie and Joe? That's about ragtag bunch that is. I wonder if Nick and Beauty, and really maybe the schism from last week between Nick and Michelle, which maybe was overblown by us on the internet of, Michelle hates Nick's guts. She's not working
with
him.
That's not like the internet. That's not like the internet to blow things out of proportion.
Yeah. What a D-bag. She's never working with him. But they seem to be seemingly on the same page tonight. I wonder if maybe you might end up seeing, okay, the three people from Beauty, or at least Nick and Michelle, saying maybe we could swing back to what's going on with Brains, because now it's really going to feel like, aren't Jason and Scott the big thing that everybody else has to be worried about?
Do you think we could see a super idol?
That's very possible. I mean,
they went for Scott, because Scott is a hinge, right? Scott is the hinge with Sydney, Jason, Ty, and Julia. If you were on the Brains tribe, you'd think, I've got to get Scott out. I would think that, right? This guy is like the link between so many different people. You get him out, but then he can go to Jason and Ty and like, hey guys, let's play the super idol.
Right.
Hey.
It's almost easier for the super idol to be played on Scott and not on either of the two guys who own an actual half of it, because
they're not tight.
Right. He is the hinge, as you said, between those two guys that have the idols. Steven, let's talk about also, you tweeted about how you liked that move that Scott did tonight, where he says to Nick, hey, I don't really know you, but let me just tell you where all the idols are in the game.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that with you because I, you know, out of the gate, I thought, whoa, calm down. You've known this guy for 15 minutes. Suddenly you're giving him all the information. But then I thought, like, you know, it might not be a terrible move. You know, you've got this merge scramble. You've got these two factions. You know, they're both going for these two key power players right now, which are Nick and Michelle. And at least from the way the episode was set up, it looked like Nick was really the key person there who was kind of moving between the two sides. And how do you win Nick to your team? You don't just be, you know, your promises of alliances are no better than the brain's promises of alliances. But if you can say, like, hey, we've got idols, and that doesn't just like prove, you know, you've
come
idols
to our party.
Yeah. It shows like it suggests you're willing to share information. And I tweeted this, but like, there's very few ways on Survivor you can prove trust. And one of those ways is voting together. That's the best way.
That's a key part of the Fishback doctrine.
Yeah, proven trust. And the second way is sharing information about idols. And P.S., like the Fishback doctrine, which Fishback did a terrible job of putting into play last season when he shared information terribly. But that, yeah, I believe in it.
But, you know, eventually when push came to shove, you did say with Jeremy and with Tasha, hey, you know, I did a bad job of letting you guys know about my advantage. Here is the information I have about my advantage, which did build trust with that group. I mean, it just turns out that meanwhile, a bigger group of people was conspiring against you while you were having that conversation with your allies. But you you got those people on board.
Yeah. But my biggest mistake was not doing the Scott Pollard, you know, not immediately saying, hey, this is what this is. Isn't this great for us? And I feel like that would have given, you know, that would have built that bond before I was blindsided, you know, before it was too late. And I really think so. I certainly see the case for like, Scott, this is too soon. You know, you just met this guy. You don't know anything about him, but it's such a crucial time. You have so little time to really pull this together for that him to come out of the gate and say, hey, we got this, you know, ride or die. I don't think that's terrible. What do you think? What do you think about it?
Well, let me ask you a follow-up question. Do you like the move more because none of the idols are Scott's, that are owned by Scott?
That's
like
true.
Scott's the guy that he does not have any idol in the game, but he knows two different guys who have an idol. And he's the one who's volunteering the information about, hey, Nick, hey, he's got an idol and he's got an idol. You should hang out with us.
This was my question because I didn't catch this. Did he share that Jason had an idol?
I thought he did because Nick had said, boy, these guys must have had too much drama. It's possible that Jason could have volunteered that information. I'm sure the chat room will let us know. And
yeah, I'm curious, chat room, like, did I don't know if anyone said, I don't know if anyone said that Jason has an idol. I think Scott just said Ty has an idol. I don't think Jason said, oh, I've got one too.
Yeah. It's almost like, tell me if this is an apt metaphor. It's like, Scott has two friends that are both dealing drugs. Okay. So Jason's holding and Ty is holding. And Scott's like the guy, hey, you like what these guys have? He's got it and he's got it. He's like, oh, you're not that. He's not worried if he's a cop, like whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, what did I do?
So the chat room is confirming that they did not tell about Jason's idol, which I think is pretty crucial.
Yeah.
They're sharing part of the information.
Part of the information. And we'll get that on the second viewing to find out for sure about all that. Now, Steven, this is something also very interesting about Neil going out of the game with an idol. Do you think that next week we end up seeing a third idol clue being given to whoever wins reward or to the group? Because if Survivor wants the super idol to be a thing, wouldn't you imagine that they would want this third idol back into circulation?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I the rules, I think, are pretty fungible. I mean, I'm sure they're concrete for the given season, but I think season to season they do change. I'd always thought like the sort of like working rule was that if someone left the game with an idol, they didn't. But sometimes they do put it back into the play after that happens. So, in token chains, they didn't. But, you know, I think in some other seasons they have. So if I were the producers, I would absolutely do that.
Yeah. All right. Steven, I feel like that to some degree we buried the lead a little bit here with all of these infections and all of the medical issues that are going on here in this season. So Stephen, that tell me, you know, you were somebody who was there, and I think that I'm, you know, I feel like that this is probably going to lead to some discussion of, you know, what is it about this season in particular that we're seeing so many of these infections become so prevalent with these players? Because there's been 30 seasons of Survivor that were shot before this. What is it about this specific location that has brought on these issues? Like, I get the Caleb thing. Like, they said, oh, this is going to be a brutal season. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's really hot there. He overexerted himself. That's a medevac situation. I get that. But I don't really understand what is going on here in season 32 that made there be so many infections when in season 31, which you guys played in after the fact, there were no medical evacuations due to so many infections. So do you have any sort of insight into, you know, what is a potential problem here?
Well, I will say that I think they were, you know, I think they were certainly aware that they didn't want another season where everyone was evacuated and very, you know, very, you know, really is told us, you know, if you've got a cut, make sure you have the doctor look at it, make sure it gets treated, you know, they disinfect it. So I think they were maybe very careful as a result. You know, I also just think that like the, you know, when I was in Token Chains, for example, you know, the rule of thumb was like boil your buff and keep your wounds clean. Like that's what they did, you know, and now I think they're a little bit, they give you some disinfectant if you need it, which makes sense because that's, you know, it's not affecting your, you know, that's like, you know, iodine isn't similar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, I think the super hot climate, you know, I think that, that, you know, it's just a super hot microbial rich, environment. And I think that, you know, a lot people get staph infections in a lot of seasons. I think this just is the one that's the worst, right? Something has to be the worst.
Yeah. I would imagine that in this season seems like it is very dry compared to the season that you played in. I would think that the wetness and the dampness would make things worse, but for some reason it seems like the heat is really having an effect on that.
I wonder though if maybe they're just like dirtier, you know, maybe we were getting like washed clean by the rains. I'm sure it's incredibly humid. You know, it's not like raining, but I'm sure, I mean, at least when we got there, it was so humid.
Yeah. Now, was Dr. Rupert, was he the doctor that you guys had also in season 31?
We had Dr. Joe. Maybe they're both around, you know, maybe they alternate, you know, once Dr. Joe gets to have the fun of a medevac, then they bring Dr. He tags out and Dr. Rupert tags in.
I mean, wasn't it such an absurd scene and so surreal? So it's like, okay, Jeff Probst is coming back in on a boat with the doctor. It's like, you know, somebody's going home. Yeah. And so it's a bit of like a, like almost like a Russian roulette type thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
yeah,
all right, every single person. All right, Ty, come sit down in the chair. And then you're sitting there. And then we're all like amateur field medics. Like, okay, that one doesn't look too bad. There's a little bit of pus there, but I think he's going to be okay on that.
Yeah.
We're all like amateur now. We can diagnose infections just by looking at them.
Well, it's like any, like, you know, any craft show, right? Like Dancing with the Stars. You're like, ugh, that pirouette, come on. You know,
I give that infection a 7.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I think that, like, you know, Survivor doesn't have a lot of moments like that where you're like, what? I guess, like, you know, you know, I saw a lot of people on Twitter were complaining that Aubrey's getting antibiotics and Neil was not. And I, you know, it's not like a bias, like, oh, we've decided to treat Aubrey and not to treat Neil. It's just that Neil's infection was more dangerous, closer to a joint and further along, right?
Right. Ask Jonathan Penner how that goes when you get one of these infections in your knee.
Oh, I mean, JT had a terrible infection on his leg. You know, he had to get emergency surgery like right after coming back from Token Chains. I kept on being, in the last few days, I was like, I think you need to pull him. I think he needs to go.
People are upset about Aubrey getting antibiotics. I mean, in my memory, I don't recall another Survivor where they said, hey, let's give you antibiotics. But I kind of feel like,
they don't show it, though, right?
What, like, sadists are saying this of like, oh, this is performance enhancing drugs, antibiotics.
I think they're just trying to not, it's just a fairness thing, right? And I think that's people's concern, and I just think it's a mistaken concern.
Like, yeah, there's no favoritism.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the doctor is making a medical call. They're two different injuries.
Yeah, if they could have treated Neil with the antibiotics, then they would have treated Neil with the antibiotics. It is not the show's preference to have anybody go out in a medical evacuation What is it about the inner thigh that you know is really some very close to being NSFW moments during the episode tonight.
Yeah, it's really interesting. That was where JT's thing was too. It's like, and I wonder if it's like that's an area where you're like not, because it's covered by your underwear and because it's covered by your swimming suit, like it's not an area you're going to disinfect. It's not an area you're going to show the doctor when you go in for checkup. So it's an area that's more likely to get infected, maybe.
Yeah. Maybe is this part of like too many people looking, climbing trees to get idols? No, I don't think only really Ty did that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was like the one wound, but like, yeah, the staph infection on the inner thigh, I just think it must be like, it's like a kind of an area that's also in Survivor's, probably an area that like gets kind of gross and dirty because, you know, even when you do scrub down on the ocean, you may not reach up there, you know, you like wear one underwear for like, you know, a month. Kind of nasty. Wait, so we didn't talk about if you think Scott was moving too fast. I still didn't get an answer.
I thought it was a little too fast. I thought it really was. Like, I really felt like that. I mean, that Nick, and I think he had a very strong night. I mean, really was super aggressively being hit on. He described himself as being, you know, the pretty girl at the party. But I mean, really, people were coming on very, very strong to him. About, you know, hey, yeah, okay, you're with us. Okay, good. Let's tell you about what's going on. You know, it really wasn't any sort of like, okay, let's just, you know, sort of bounce ideas off of them. And I think that I probably would be slow playing it a little bit more and maybe to my detriment because those guys were able to close the sale faster, even though he's like, I don't know if I love these guys, but let me just go ahead and stick around with them for this vote because I know I can, get on their good side and then also be able to move behind their back without them noticing. So I thought that both him and Debbie, and really for the first time this season, Stephen, I think we might have to give some demerits to Debbie.
I am.
Her glowing edit for the first time has shown some cracks tonight.
Well, and you know, I wonder if like she's just like her momentum has kind of carried her too far. You know, I think she, you know, when we first saw her on the Brains beat, she was kind of the person who was like in people's ear and like kind of playing the like, I'm just going to sit back and like be the subtle one. And maybe the fact that she, first of all, masterminded the Liz boot and then hasn't had an outlet for her strategy since then is why she's coming like guns blazing into the merch. But how great was that scene with Ty where he's like, well, I guess I need an alliance. And she's like, well, you're in one now. You're stuck with us. Like, you know, like yeah. that's such a weird way to make alliances.
It really was odd. I can't ever recall a scenario where that worked, where you have no personal connection with a person. And it's just like, you're in the alliance.
Yeah, exactly.
You're in the alliance.
It's like going up to someone and dating them. Just date them and like, well, we're dating. You're like, no, I don't really know you that well. Well,
yeah, and he tried to push back and like, what alliance? You have an alliance. You have us.
Yeah.
Like, I guess so. Yeah. Like this reluctant alliance. And really, you know, you saw even Neil and Aubrey talking about they couldn't stand Debbie. You saw Nick say, boy, Debbie's really getting on my nerves. And Aubrey and Neil had a conversation of, boy, Neil would rather go in freelance and go by the skin of his teeth than work with Debbie anymore.
Yeah, it's crazy. Poor Debbie. You know, it's I think she's gotten too wound up. You know, I think she needs to like calm down.
Yeah, has Debbie started to buy her own hype to some degree? It's funny because she's not watching the show and reading, you know, what we see on Twitter about all the Debbie love, but she's really gotten like a very big head in the game.
Well, that's I'm writing that in my blog is that like she's like bought into her own military metaphors, you know, and like, you know, if she's studied the military, as I'm sure she has, I'm sure she's a, you know, a military historian, you know, she needs to win the hearts and minds before she does the ground invasion.
Yeah. But has Debbie to some degree fallen into the Philip sort of trap where she's now bought her own hype of, okay, well, we've got Stealth R Us. We're part of this, you know, elite.
Oh, no, I totally think so. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think she's just like so into her, you know, into her own like idea of like, but you know, her, the things she's saying are smart, right? At least when she's speaking in confessional, she's not like, you know, she's like, the idea that people want to be picked up, you know, I think that's a really great one. You know, you want, and the idea of playing an offensive game. The problem is like, she doesn't realize, you know, she has all these confessionals about like, no one else out here is playing, you know, offensively. And like, that's just wrong. They're just not playing it as obviously.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point all around with Debbie. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because in Debbie's mind, like, I think she thought that their plan was going to work, that we know what the score is. We know that Brains was going to be on the wrong side of the numbers and seemingly in a 7-4 vote. But Debbie might have thought, like, damn, we lost Neil tonight, but we still got Nick and Michelle and Julia on our side, and we've still got the numbers.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if they thought they had Julia. I have to get a piece of paper out and figure it out. They thought they had the four Brains and then Nick and also Michelle. That's what they thought they had. So maybe they're like, oh, now it's 5-5. Okay. But I guess we'll have to, you know, get somebody to swing over to our side. But for Debbie, I don't think she realizes that she was down in the numbers on this vote.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I agree. And I don't think any of the Brains realize that. You know, I don't think any of them do. You know, they probably all thought that they were going to go in and they had it on lock. And, you know, that's the danger, right? It's like that's the challenge of this game.
Yeah, it's a really, really, really fun. Steven, do you feel like that that Jason one day is going to be pushing us into lockers? Are you concerned about that?
Yeah, a lot of thematic confessionals tonight. Oh, it's the Brains, the Brawn, and the Beauty, the Jocks, the Nerds, and the Beauty Queens. A lot of, you know, someone was asking questions on that beach that were very, you know, targeted.
Let's bounce around a little bit more. We talked about Nick. Let's drill down a little further. Did you think that Nick was playing too hard too fast tonight, or did you feel like that this was a positive night for Nick?
I mean, that's like the thing is, like, I feel like if they had locked it in tonight and the vote had happened, that it would have, you know, that he could have, because it did seem like he was bouncing around a lot. You know, he was like, but I'm sure everyone,
I don't know, that his balls certainly were.
His balls were bouncing. Yeah, you never want, you know, it's dangerous. No, but I think that, you know, probably everyone was bouncing around to some extent too, right? We just see Nick because it's more his story, but probably everyone is having a lot of conversations. But, you know, at some point, you got to pick a side, and people who play the middle get smushed.
I really did like where he was coming from. I felt like that I could definitely relate to. I feel like that's how I would be, you know, in some sort of a merge of like, okay, let me hear out both sides and then make a decision on which way I want to go. But I kept waiting for him to get caught up, especially when Debbie said to him, like, okay, well, it's definitely not going to be you. You're not going home tonight. I was like, oh, that's not a great sign for him in the edit. But he ends up sticking around and getting past this. And, you know, let's go back to Michelle a little bit. And we had that conversation. You know, you were waiting the whole episode, at least I was, for Nick and Michelle to follow up on what we saw last week, that whole conversation with bro, I know. And I don't need to be carried.
Bro, I know.
And so basically you had Nick tell Michelle, okay, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go with Braun. They've got more going on here with them. And we can, you know, they'll trust us. And then we can do what we want to do. But I really wish we got a Michelle confession. For all the talk of, oh, shoehorning Michelle confessionals in here, shoehorning Michelle confessionals in there, weren't you dying to know what Michelle's response was to Nick's plan?
Well, it was kind of her plan, though. And that's what I liked about this confessional was that, I'm sorry, not this confessional, this interaction. I thought Nick did a great job this week. And unlike last week where we gave him a lot of crap, I think this week you got to praise him. You know, he goes up to Michelle and he says to her, what are you thinking? You know, and then she kind of runs through why she wants to be with Jason and Scott, why no one's going to vote for Jason because he's a jerk. No one's going to vote for Scott because he's got the money. And so Nick's like, yeah, I agree. Let's go with Braun. And then Michelle says, you know, and then Nick says, well, who this week? And Michelle says Aubrey. So, you know, it's really Michelle driving it as much as it is Nick. And I think, like, kudos to Nick for really playing that conversation perfectly.
Yeah. All right. And I'm eager to go back and watch that on my rewatch to see just how, you know, whether it was 50-50 or who was saying what, because I know that comes right on the heels of Aubrey having a conversation with Michelle of saying why Michelle should stick with Brains on this vote.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, I think, you know, you see Michelle in the middle too, you know, you see Michelle being courted and Michelle says she wants to go with Brains. You know, she says she wants to go with Debbie and Aubrey, but she thinks it's the better move.
Best for Michelle.
That's the thing about Michelle, Rob. You're getting those confessionals but you're not hearing them because they're so uninteresting compared to everything else that's going on. And that's why it's a winner's edit.
Okay. All right. We'll see where else it goes. All right. What about for some of the remaining players? You know, I was really surprised with the what the fallout from the vote last week, because I think
that we
ended up saying, and I feel like all week long, just about, you know, all the people I talked to was like, boy, Aubrey is going to be in the good graces now of the people of Scott and Ty and Julie, and they're going to be mad at Joe because that, you know, he didn't vote with them, but at least Aubrey did. But Scott was pissed at both of them
for being wishy. Well, I get it, right? Like, if you're wishy washy in the voting booth, like, that's scary. And it also, it sounds like, you know, last week when we were watching the episode, it looked like there were this like brewing 3-3 split, or maybe, you know, maybe Scott, Julia, and Ty were going to begrudgingly go with the brains. But it actually looked like Scott, Julia, and Ty were driving things anyway to some degree, right? Like that there was like, there had been some sort of agreement already. At least Scott was, right? And so, you know, he's suddenly Joe's in the hot seat and Aubrey for being wishy-washy. I'm on board with that. You can't have someone like switching her mind at tribal council.
Yeah, he was really upset about that. And, you know, I really was, you know, we talked about was it a move what Aubrey ended up doing during the week? Like, was there any sort of like to say to Julia, like, you know, I came this close, but I'm with you, you know.
Who talked about that? That's a terrible. No, I wrote your name down at tribal. Like, how and who's winning? Like, what's the argument for that?
All right. Well, let's get into some of these questions that we have here on the know-it-alls. Okay. Again, hashtag RHAP. Steven, why don't you get us kicked off with Nick2S?
All right. Nick2S wants to know, so what happens if the tribe takes longer than 5 minutes to pack up? Would the cameraman drag you to the boat or what?
It's 5 minutes, you know.
It's five minutes. Oh, I think it's probably like 5 to 7 minutes. You know, I think that when they make time limits like that, I think it's like, you better do it or you're
right. Gone. It's like go, go, go. But it's not like henchmen come and throw you in the boat. Eventually, if you're taking that 8th minute to gather up your things, you know, they might be saying like, all right, chop, chop. Let's keep it moving here.
But I can see them just being like, that's it. You know, you can't.
The boat's leaving without you. You're voted out.
You know, but like, you know, I mean, there are rules. There's people there. You can't just, you know, there's things you can and can't do.
Yeah. Okay. Fire Fist Ace says, OMG, they're all turning into zombies. Yeah. That's why Jeff didn't hype the season. This is where the infection starts. Everyone is evacuated in quarantine. Run for your lives. Is this the zombie season of Survivor?
Yeah, this is the prequel to The Walking Dead. This is how we,
But just to speak to that, I know that's a joke, but do you feel like the integrity of the season is compromised by this medevac? Because I think that's the fear with this season, where we're going to have a medevac that's going to alter the course of the season. And while maybe you certainly could make the case of the butterfly effect, like we did with Julie McGee leaving the game at Final 12 in San Juan del Sur, do you feel like fundamentally the season was altered in a way that will interfere with your enjoyment of it because Neil was the medical evacuation here?
I mean, the thing is, and you know, you know what I'm going to say here, like everything alters the, you know, everything to such a great degree. Now, do I think that this, yeah, I think it does affect my enjoyment. I think when I think a single medevac affects it, I think,
did Joe Dowdle's medical evacuation, does JT still win if Joe Dowdle does not get medically evacuated?
Maybe not, you know, because I think there's more of it. I mean, maybe
do
not.
Do you win?
Yeah, probably not.
So who wins?
Yeah, whoever was my closer friend at the end of the game. No, but like, you know, like anything, you know, like, there's so many little things.
I know. But to me,
but I agree. It's almost like these are big things.
I just kind of walk away with this saying like, okay, it wasn't like we were going to say, Neil was going to win. And then he lost.
You know, but like my feeling is like a bunch of random things happen and someone wins. You know, like, I don't really think that. But like, you know, there's so much chance. It's like, you know, does someone getting a great challenge that's perfect for them at the right moment, does that alter the integrity of the season? No, it's just like that's something else that happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Steven, let's take another question. This is from Tim.
Tim Marzullo wants to know, why did Neil not give away the idol? Would production have forbidden it? I was wondering this myself. What do you think, Rob?
I don't think production would have forbidden it, because I feel like that we had this come up back in Survivor One World when Colton was medically evacuated for...
He had like the choice, right? And he was like, eh, screw them.
Yeah. And so, I mean, to be fair to Colton, they did, Dr. Ramona did say, we're going to have to take him from the game. But then after the fact, Jeff Probst said that, again, we don't need to revisit this. Not a fun situation to talk about. But I was always under the impression that Colton said, hey, I'm going to keep this as a souvenir, and did not give it to his partner in crime, which was Alicia. I feel like that if Neil wanted to, he could have given the idol to Aubrey, but I kind of feel like that maybe it was the last thing on his mind, being overwhelmed with the information, hey, you're gone from the game. And you saw Neil was very emotional about the whole thing and very broken up about it. He probably was not thinking strategy.
I don't know. Like, I think I would want like my ally. I just don't think
we'll find out tomorrow.
Think about that. Yeah. Yeah. But maybe he didn't want to put the target on Aubrey. I mean, but although then at least it buys her 3 days. Just hand her the idol.
Yeah. I thought he was going to do a move where he like goes, oh, let me just give one more hug to Aubrey and then sort of like, you know, put it in her pocket. But again, that you're already, you know, first off, you have a infection running through your blood, which is bad enough to remove you from Survivor. So you're maybe not thinking clearly. You're also
none of them are thinking clearly. That's right. The baseline. No one is thinking clearly.
You're also malnourished. You're also like emotionally overwhelmed. Oh, I'm being medically evacuated because there's a medical situation that's serious enough that I need to go to the hospital. You know, you don't have that many minutes to think about it also. And he's like, maybe I don't want to put the target on her back. So we'll find out from Neil tomorrow. This is, you know, a moot point for 12 more hours. Well, if this is something we could speculate on until the cows come home, we will find out the answer in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Just ask someone.
Yeah.
Andres 5 or V or Sank wants to know, is this the first time we see an edit where someone's possession of an idol is revealed because of a bulge in their pants?
No.
No, it is not.
Definitely not. Yeah.
Tyson.
And also the great Ronald from Survivor Karamoan. Also, I believe it was Laura Alexander said, hey, I see a bulge in Reynolds' pants. I'm pretty sure he has the idol. So it has happened multiple occasions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what you necessarily can be doing. Interesting for Neil to be walking. Maybe Neil suspected the merge was coming, and that's why he had the idol on his person. Do you feel like, Steven, as somebody who's been out there recently in the idol era of Survivor, is it odd to see a person with the idol on their person just seemingly walking around, not even headed to tribal?
No, I think you want to keep it near you. You know, burying it can be dangerous because, you know, like the other thing is that, well, Neil has tweeted an answer to this. Can I share that information?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, are tweets canon, Steven?
No, they're not. So don't trust what I'm about to
Canon-ish.
Say.
Canon-ish.
Yeah. He said that it was actually not the idol in his pocket. It was a bunch of like string and fabric that the idol was somewhere else.
All right.
So people saw, but there was a bulge, but it was not the idol bulge.
Okay. So it was just a coincidence?
Yeah, it was just coincidence.
Okay. All right. There you go. This is from Math Fridge. Steven, you said in the Wiggle Room that we should get ready for a boring merge. How likely is it that we will see the brains get pegonged?
Oh, I was just saying that because the season was so underhyped.
I don't maybe feel like it's going to be a pegonging after
I don't either.
The way
yeah.
this was treated in terms of what we saw.
Maybe it was just because of these things like this, where like Neil is medically evacuated at a crucial moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't see that as being the case. I mean, it would be potentially kind of boring, but there's still only 3 people left from brains. So, I mean, how bad could that be? If it's a pegonging of the brains tribe followed by a pegonging of Nick, Julia, Michelle, followed by Ty being voted off, and then the final 3 of Jason, Scott, Sydney. I mean, that would be a little predictable, but I can't imagine that's the case.
Yeah, I don't see that happening here. I mean, certainly, I don't think next week. I mean, as you know, I think Nick is gone next week. So
okay, you're just gonna keep calling that one until it comes in.
Well, yeah, and if it's not next week, I'll predict it for the subsequent week. At some point, I'm gonna be right unless he wins.
To be fair, I did say that was gonna be my pick for this week for who is the person to go.
I said next one of the next 2 weeks.
You did. Say that.
Yeah. Okay. So I still have a week left before I'm wrong.
All right. What about Josh Banner?
Josh Banner wants to know, with Nick being in total control this episode, with him getting immunity, even if it didn't count, Are you ready to admit that he can be a serious contender? Josh, serious contender? Absolutely. I think Nick is really smart. He knows how to play the game really well. He obviously knows Survivor, not just from his days as a blogger, but certainly, you know, all of his insight into the game. My concern with Nick is only about his edit. It's the fact that he was very under-edited for the first part of the season and suddenly has emerged to prominence. That, to me, does not spell winner. Although I think
are you willing
player.
To entertain that Nick could be the winner of the season? Are you would you even give that any consideration?
What does it mean to entertain in this context?
Is there a 1 in 100 shot in your mind that Nick is the winner of the season?
Hey, look, Sophie won South Pacific, and I like there was no way nobody saw that coming, right? So you know, maybe some people saw that coming,
but like, but at some point, you know, isn't what's happening in the present enough to change, you know, okay, well, he didn't have that much going on in the past. But tonight, I mean, you had a lot of good stuff, I thought, like, for Nick. And I'm not saying that I'm on board if you want to really get into the winner edit stuff. But I feel like that I thought this was a really positive night for Nick.
But that's the whole point of, like, the edit, right? It's like the structure of it, like, helps guide you in terms of, like, how they're going to do. And, you know, I could totally get egg on my face. Nick could win and I could look like a moron. It certainly wouldn't be the first time. But, you know, I think that traditionally people who, you know, it's those exact things where people are invisible and then super visible that indicate typically when they go home.
Okay. Let's take this is from Laura Survivor, who says, what's the theory behind having a tribal council post Caleb evacuation, but not post Neil? All right. So does this bother you? So in the episode back where Caleb was medically evacuated, we went on to have a reward challenge. Have an immunity challenge. And then we voted out Alicia in that episode. Here we have a medical evacuation. Why not have the just like in Token Sheens where Tyson won individual immunity, then there was no tribal council. Why is that the rule here?
You know, it's probably a call just from, you know, running out of people, right? Like at some point, you know, it's you got to make a decision on the ground based on, I mean, this is me speculating, right? But I think you have to make a decision on the ground based on what's happening.
But it's a great point. We're already behind in the numbers because they merged on day 17, which is already an early merge. So on day 19, we went from 11 to 10. We're going to go down to 9 players on day 19. I mean, that there's just too many days left in the season and not enough people. Where we don't have enough people left to make the show. So that's really what it comes down to. I'm trying to remember in a 16 person season. And again, you should be having even more numbers at that point. You should be ahead of the pace. I'm trying to remember on day 19. I think that was when we merged in Survivor the Amazon and we had 10 and then voted out Roger on day 21. So you're going to be really you're behind the pace then at that point of even a 16 person season.
Yeah,
if you get down to 9 people on day 19.
So you got to, you know, and I think these are right. The reason they have made the seasons bigger, right, typically is because they figure things go wrong. You know,
that's why they call it
wrong. Yeah. Someone is evacuated or someone quits and they have, you know, they build in like, well, if nothing bad happens, then we've got ways to do double boots and things, or we'll eliminate people faster. But if bad things happen, you know, then we will pace it accordingly. And, you know, I think that's when you're making a show like Survivor, where you're out in the wilderness, you know, you have very little control over the environment. If someone goes away, it's not like you can just sub someone else in. You know, I think the fact that they're so flexible and so efficiently flexible is really a testament to the production.
Do you think it's fair to begin to entertain the idea that we are going to have a final two in this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible.
I think it's probably at this point, I'd say it might be even 50-50 at this point, because we still have so many people, we only are down to 10 people. It's going to be day 20 when the episode starts. The original Brains versus Brawn versus Beauty was also a final two. What if that's a thing?
That could be. I mean, that really could be. That would be interesting.
I mean, you have to take a look at the weeks and figure out, you know, how many episodes are left here. This was episode 7. Typically, what there's is it 14 episodes of Survivor and then the reunion show. So if you figure if that's the finale in 14 episodes, that we have 6 more episodes to go. You know,
well, 7 more. This is episode 7.
Yeah, this was episode 7, but I'm saying 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and then if 14 is the finale, you feel like 6 more episodes to go. So we got to do the math on all this. All right. Voice of silence. In Debbie's words, who is your toilet paper to your toilet? Was that the craziest comparison ever in Survivor? Yeah, Stephen, what? You're the poet.
You're the toilet paper to my toilet, Rob.
Yeah, well, which is which? Would you rather be the toilet paper or the toilet?
I don't know.
The salt and, where the salt and pepper, the toilet paper or the toilet? What would you rather be?
Yeah, like Courtney and Sandra had rice and beans, right. You know? I think that's a little bit better. I'm going to go with rice and beans.
Okay. All right.
I'd rather be none of those things. IQ Fishback wants to know, would it be good for beauty to go with Braun with just the fact that after they get rid of the brains, they still have the numbers advantage? Yes. I was wondering about this. Why did no one say this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Would it be better for beauty to go with Braun?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that what they were doing?
Well, it was. Yeah. But no one talked about, like, no one on beauty was like, oh, also, we
yeah,
will
there's
have
four
the
of us and there's only three of them. I think they just feel like Ty is already in the Braun tribe. Also, Stephen, what would you have rather had in Survivor Cambodia? Toilet paper or a toilet?
Toilet.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. You can, the leaves are fine.
All right, last question.
You know, they're fine. You don't want to talk more about this?
No. Okay. Yeah. Josh Banner said, do you think a Philippine-style season with Terry, Caleb, and Neil would be a good season? Terry? We've got Terry, Beast Mode Cowboy, and Neil.
I'm all about Terry, Caleb, and Joe Dowdle.
Okay. Steven, your people blog is going to drop pretty soon. Yeah. Did you go with the cop out of Dr. Rupert for the fishy tonight?
There's two fishies.
Okay.
You got to read the blog.
That's it?
I can't keep spoiling it, you know? I got to worry about my traffic numbers.
Could you tell us one of them?
The non-human one is the staph bacteria.
For taking out another contender?
Yeah, with an idol. Yeah.
All right. All right. All right, chat room, you guys come up with a hashtag for tonight while Steven and I discuss what's to come. All right, so of course, Steven's blog, you could read it. Follow him on Twitter, at Steven Fishback. How soon until that's up?
I think I should be able to get up within an hour, but it may not be. Sometimes it takes a while to get it posted, so it may not be till tomorrow.
Okay, coming up very soon. Of course, then we will have so many questions answered by Neil on the Exit Interview podcast. Looking forward to that on Thursday. Plus, then we'll get into Pete and Abby Maria and what will they have to say about all of this craziness.
And will we be able to understand them?
Yeah.
The other thing I just wanted to say is that people often ask me where they can find my blog. I always post it to my Facebook page, and I'm going to start pinning it on my Twitter.
Oh,
yeah, because that's someone suggested that I start pinning it as my pinned tweet so that it's easier to find. So I'm going to start doing that.
Okay. All right. So and then, of course, the voicemails with my buddy Matt Cerrone from MetsBlog.com. Get your voicemails in. Go to robinswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. All right. Hashtag contenders, Stephen. That Paul Borges is really pushing hard for hashtag full Joe Dowdle.
Full Joe Dowdle. Done.
Oh, done. You didn't want to hear the other one.
I mean, do any of them involve Joe Dowdle?
No.
I think we're good.
When was the last time you talked to Joe Dowdle? Should we get him on a recap?
I think you should get him on a recap. You know, you need to get on a recap is you should get Joe on. I think he's a really smart guy. He's got a lot to say. You need to get JT on. Just get a translator.
You are the Scott Pollard in that equation of like that you have two friends and you've never made the introduction other than the when I met you at the Survivor Samoa finale.
That was fun.
Anytime I would love to talk to JT. One of the a few remaining winners we've never talked to on the podcast.
And he gets this game, you know, he's like Tony. Like, he'll say things to me that will just blow him. I was like, oh my God.
And he watches the show still? Because I feel like he doesn't watch the show.
Oh, no, he watches the show.
Okay, interesting. All right, well, anytime you, that ball's in your court.
Okay, well, I'll try to make it happen.
Okay, see what you can do. All right, Stephen, great job tonight. Very fun to talk about this episode.
This was a good episode. The great thing about a medevac is that you actually get more strategy because it goes up right until the evac.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's going to be very exciting to see. Should be a fun week of podcasting to talk about where we go from here. Also, then next week on the recap podcast, I'm excited about this. Chaos Cass will be joining us the week after.
Oh, wow.
So she's a good person to talk about it, talk to at this time in the game also.
The merge.
Yeah, the merge. Think about the merge. Yeah. Okay.
Because she knows chaos. She knows
chaos. She knows what chaos is like. So we'll talk to her next week on the Recap Podcast. All right, everybody. Have a great night. Looking forward to getting into all the podcasts tomorrow. And be sure to check out Steven's blog coming up very shortly. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Survive the no way at all.